Welcome to Scaredy Cats. I am one of your co-hosts, Daniel Hummer. Tonight we're doing the Nightmare on Elm Street remake in 2010, and that's going to be a fun one. We got a lot of scares and thrills to get to this week. I'm here with my co-host, my sister Mindy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second episode of Scaredy Cats. If you're just tuning in and you love horror movies, then this is the right podcast for you. If you've been with us since last week, awesome. Great. Glad to have you back.
Oh, yeah. We did very well in the first episode, and we appreciate that. And all the fans following us, we can't wait to keep giving you great horror content.
Absolutely. We are also going to be starting up a Twitter and Instagram, Facebook page as well for everybody. So that way we can do a little bit more content of what everybody would like.
Oh, yeah.
You can send us suggestions and maybe even challenge us with things that we didn't even know about. So we're excited to get that up and running.
Yeah, definitely can't wait to keep growing the Scaredy Cat family, so to speak, and make sure to keep joining the groups and following along. We got a lot of good stuff coming. Before we get into that, we do have a few plugs for the Unscripted Everything Network. Dirt Sheet Dudes, make sure to listen to them, Box and Smark, every Wednesday and Friday after NXT and AEW and after SmackDown. Make sure to listen to our wrestling show on Fridays, Unscripted Wrestling. Fans there, it'd be nice to merge the two fan bases, two niches, and get everyone listening to everything we're doing. So make sure to listen to that and settle in the ring and everything we got going, Doug's history lesson. But without further ado, Nightmare on Elm Street, the remake in 2010. Let's get right into it, Mindy. There's a lot of good, a lot of bad, but I'm excited to talk about with you. First, let's get started on Freddy himself, because Freddy Krueger is such a legendary, iconic figure. Give us a little background on Freddy and kind of what they did to him here in the remake.
Okay, well, if you've never seen either of them, spoilers, of course.
Yeah.
But I'll just jump right into it here. Basically, Freddy was a man named Fred Krueger, and he was in the original, he ended up being a child killer. But what both movies had similar to one another is that he was a groundskeeper at a preschool that all of them went to, and all the kids, and they kept that for both stories. But they changed him for the remake from a child murderer to a child molester. And I think that was a little bit unnecessary. I don't think that really needed to happen. He was menacing enough. Yeah. And also, I just want to let people know, Freddy Krueger, Robert Englund's Freddy Krueger, is a completely different person than you're going to get in this movie.
Yeah.
This movie, this guy is so incredibly dark,
yes,
and sadistic. And he plays it great.
Yeah.
But he's just very dark and sadistic. There's no cynicalness. There's no funniness to him.
No.
So if you're looking for like another sequel from a Freddy movie or whatnot, do not go into it that way, because that's the worst possible way you go into it. If you go into it that way, you're gonna hate it like you did, Daniel. Because it's just true, because both of them are very much the same, but vastly different at the same time.
Yeah, there's a lot of the same shots and stuff, and that I can't wait to get into, because that's critique that I have personally of the film, but for the people that listened to last week and Friday the 13th, which same production company, Platinum Dunes, Michael Bay's production company, released this about a year apart from each other. But I think a lot of people, we can agree that that was more the same for Jason. Like, it was pretty much the same shit.
Yeah.
This, it is, like you said, it's very tonally different than what it was before. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But if you are a fan of the original Nightmare on Elm Street and you're expecting more of that, you might get disappointed.
Absolutely, because you're going from one Freddy to a completely different one. I mean, for our listeners that have had the opportunity to see the new Child's Play, it's very much so like that.
Yeah.
They changed the main character so much that honestly, they probably could have put a different title on the movie and no one probably would have known.
Yeah.
Unless they were a big, huge, like, series. But if they put another name on the movie and a different sweater on the character, it would have been a completely different film.
Yeah.
Because he was completely different.
And, I mean, this movie was very successful. It made $63 million at the box office. And the budget wasn't too big from what I remember. Yeah, the budget was $35 million. So it made good money. It got reviewed. I mean, it got critically shredded. You know, people hated it. Fans even hated it. And this does have a stigma among horror remakes. So that's why when we're starting our series on bad horror remakes, this is probably a good thing to go with.
Absolutely, because I feel it would have very much done better as a whole with the critics and everything if they would have added a little bit more of the original in there. And I'm not saying about repeating more scenes and everything, because that's just stupid. If I've seen a scene before, I don't want to see it again 10 years later. No, thank you. I'm good.
Yeah.
But I feel that they would have added a little bit more of the comedic element to it.
Yeah.
Because everybody that's seen all of the Freddy movies, every single last one, even the first one, though it was menacing, it was comedic.
Yeah.
He came out of the film with his tongue and like stuff like that. Like, he was comedic.
Not as much as the sequels, but it was still there.
It was sprinkled a little bit. And then the second one, it got sprinkled a little bit more. And then in the third one, they were just like, let's just make that switch and go to comedy horror. And that was great for them. But I also think that that's what this one was missing. I mean, I love the Freddy version that he did. I don't feel like it was right.
Yeah. And maybe one of the reasons for that, and this is really something I wanted to run by you, because before we get into the movie here, the screenplay was by Wesley Strick, Eric Heiserer. I can't really pronounce his last name. Sorry, bud. And it was directed by a famous music video director, Samuel Beyer. His first movie direction, the directorial debut, by the way. And this is his only movie I think he's directed. And they were trying to get him to do so many horror remakes. They asked him to do Friday. I'm pretty sure they asked him to do Bloody Valentine. And they asked him to do all these movies, and he chose this one. Now, this movie is famous for not getting the famous Wes Craven, our hero, his input in the movie. They did not consult him whatsoever. They did not ask him anything. And he was famously pissed off by this because Freddy, as he said, is his favorite creation he's ever made to horror. You know, out of all his contributions to horror, which he has so many, Freddy is his favorite.
A lot of people don't know this, though, too. I don't mean to cut you off. But Wes Craven actually created Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
That was his character. Freddy Krueger came to him in one of his own nightmares.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, they'll say that it's based on the story of like this Indian tribe and whatnot. Yes, Wes did confirm that was kind of true. That was kind of the inspiration. But Freddy himself was a product of his nightmares that he had been having since he was five.
Yes. And so in that aspect, did this movie suffer from not having the man that made it all contribute at all?
Absolutely. They didn't have the creator. And I think it's extremely disrespectful. Because he was still in the horror game. It wasn't like he was sick yet or anything. There was no reason for them to disclude him. And I think that was wrong and disrespectful, and he deserves better. And honestly, I would have loved to see him do one more.
Yeah, because, and especially the whole pedophilia thing that we'll get into, that was his original idea for the character.
Exactly.
That is what Wes Craven wanted to do with the character, but there was a lot of cases of it happening at that time, and he did not want it to seem like he was, you know, taking advantage of the situation.
Yeah, because like we've discussed, like if anyone listens to our Scream podcast that we did in Halloween, we've discussed that Mr. Craven is very sensitive in a way towards people. He is very sensitive in a way to people's beliefs.
Yeah.
I've noticed. So he tries to stay very true to the story and not really go off of anything else.
Yeah, he doesn't, like, he's one of the, like, art is art for him, and you can tell he will push the envelope a lot for his art, but he's not so much as, like, Rob Zombie that'll go to where he'll do purposely offensive stuff just because for the art. Wes Craven seems to have a little more direction to where he won't try to purposely hurt people's feelings and make them uncomfortable. He'll play with it a little bit.
Exactly, like especially in the movie trope with the black community always being the first one to go in the horror films. If you've ever seen the Scream franchise and in the Nightmare franchise, he didn't do that.
No, Joel makes it in Scream 2.
Joel makes it in Scream 2, and there's a young black boy in Nightmare on Elm Street 3 during Warriors who makes it. So it is very, very possible, and he makes it possible. And also, one thing I would really like to bring up to you, Daniel, is Nancy is a very, very, very complex character for me, especially in the first one.
The original name.
Yes. The second one, they don't go into it that much with her, the remake. But in the original, she was a final girl, but she was not a virgin. What do you think about that? That was something that Wes had stuck to for years, and then all of a sudden he did that.
It adds an extra dimension for sure. And I think Nancy, the original Nancy, is in everyone's conversation for top five final girls of all time.
Oh, yeah. Heather Langenkamp definitely made that franchise.
Yeah.
She brought Freddy to life.
Yeah, and no offense to Rooney Mara, and she's gone on to have a lot of success. She's a great actress. I did not really enjoy her here.
I also think that this is because it's one of her first pieces.
Yeah.
And me and you have discussed this before, when a young actor does their first piece and it's a horror movie, it's normally a hit or a miss.
Yeah.
Either they're really, really, really good at it and you can tell that they're going to have a future in horror, or you're like, oh no, what are they doing? They should never put this person in here.
Yeah. And I don't know if you read this, but she didn't like this.
No,
like
she
was not a fan. She said she was going to quit acting. She did not like this so much.
Yeah.
And like, and she was a little, she wasn't enthused when she auditioned, but once she got the part and everything, and they, because they signed her for a contract for two movies.
Yeah.
They had Freddy for three, Jackie Earle Haley, and they had her for two. And she did not want to be a part of this. She said, if this is what the material they're going to give me, I don't want to act anymore. Mm-hmm. So that tells you something, and I don't really want to bash the scriptwriters and stuff, but I mean, it is what it is.
And you can see that in her character as well, though, in her acting. It was very lackluster. You could kind of tell that she didn't really want to be there.
Yeah, it was hard for her, especially because Kyle Gallner, another guy that people like, he's kind of an internet darling of actors. The people love him. And him as Quentin, at first, I know I was talking shit earlier in the week, but on second watch and stuff, he does kind of help make the movie for the kids, because the rest of the characters are kind of so generic, you know, slasher characters. But his, like, you know, weird, kind of nerdy, kind of not, you know.
Like, he's in the nerd crowd, but he's also a goth kid, but he's also kind of a druggie, but he also cares a lot about school, so he's a bit of a book nerd. So I feel definitely like you feel they gave him the most depth and the most backstory as a character.
And I read this, it was another critic's review. I'm not going to say their name, but they said him and him being such a strong character kind of took away from Nancy as the final girl. And I do agree with that a little bit.
Absolutely.
Because she does lean on him as a male character a lot.
Absolutely. And also, she's too much for me. When she screams and she holds her face and stuff, you would think like someone's being killed in front of her. He hasn't even done anything to her yet.
Yeah.
He's just chasing her down a hallway. Like, why don't you save that scream for when he pulled your mother through the window? Like, come on. And that's what differs between her and the original Nancy Heather Langenkamp, because Heather chose to play her character. Now, she has said after doing that movie, it took her a really long time to be okay with doing another one. That's why she didn't show up for the second one and she was in the third one.
Yeah.
She does
love the franchise.
She loves the franchise as a whole, and she was in Wes Craven's New Nightmare as well. And I just believe that she, just like as we say, Neve Campbell is Sydney Prescott, and as we say in my house, Bruce Campbell is Ash from Evil Dead. Heather Langenkamp is very much so Nancy Johnson from Nightmare on Elm Street. Very much so.
Well, and you got to think it is kind of the same character because it's both Nancy, but it is, I mean, different last name, so it is technically a different character. You got Nancy Thompson versus Nancy Holbrook. And it's so hard when it comes to these things, because when they're remaking this movie, they're probably thinking, we got to get Freddy right. We got to get Freddy right. And probably not so much on their mind is, we got to get the final girl right. Even though that is a big part to a horror movie. You know that. I know that. A shitty final girl can ruin a movie.
Absolutely.
And a great one can make a subpar movie.
Absolutely. You go back and look at some subpar horror movies and thrillers and whatnot. And if you got a good final girl, that's it. Lights out. You got a good movie.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. The final girl, the protagonist versus the antagonist, that's the best. That's the part that you wait 2 hours to get to.
Yeah, the last 20 minutes, the run, the seeing all the bodies and decapitated shit, and the whole fight, that is what it builds up to at the end of the day.
And that's what we, as fans of the slasher series, love.
Yeah.
We love those kind of things. Me and my brother here, we are very much so slasher fans.
Yeah.
We will go into other horror movies. Of course, we're not going to just be slasher people because you can't just focus on one thing.
Well, we're not going to do that with the show either. I mean, I love zombies. I love ghosts. I love all that other stuff. But I would say we're slasher enthusiasts. This is the stuff that gets us most excited.
Yeah.
But we love the whole genre.
Yeah, so we will be exploring more of that later. But right now, we're just kind of getting at what we like, what we can talk about for a really long time, because honestly, we could probably talk about this for about a day.
Yeah, that's what we enjoy.
And Daniel, I would like to hear from you, what is it that you love about the slasher genre?
There's a few different things, and I think it's the fear that, especially... Well, one thing, and it's one thing I enjoy about Scream, you don't really get it from stuff like this, but the whodunit aspect of stuff is something I really enjoy, and the murder mystery, because it kind of brings in a whole new genre in its own into it. I love the whodunit stuff. I also love just, like, you can't really take... There's all these things, ghosts, all these things that people can, try to debunk. There's something about, like, some dude with a mask just hunting you down that's just never going to stop being scary in the woods, like, when it's dark.
Because it's realistic. Just like Kristen Bell's character in Scream 4 says, it's not some little Asian ghost girl. It's a man with a knife that snaps.
Yeah, and even though, like, they do a bunch of shit, like, Jason becomes a zombie, and, you know, you kind of think Michael Myers is immortal after a while. But the first Halloween, Michael Myers is a regular dude that just enjoys killing people. Jason's just this, mutated, like, kind of... He could still be a real person, like this oaf that was mistreated as a kid that just wants to kill people. Like, that stuff can actually happen, and so that brings real fear into it to me, against, like, paranormal stuff or, like, zombies or stuff.
Absolutely, because, like, when you're talking about a man like Michael Myers, he doesn't have empathy. He doesn't feel for anybody. So as everyone has seen in all of his movies and whatnot, he just kills anyone and everyone. But you don't even have to piss him off. You don't even have to have sex in front of him like Jason does. He just hates you.
Yeah.
Because you're you. He just hates you because you're living and you're on the planet and you're in his way. And that is the one thing that separates him among all of the other ones.
Yeah.
And I will have to say another thing that separates Mr. Myers amongst all of the other ones, he has never, ever, 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 ever killed a child.
No.
He did hunt a child in Halloween 4 and 5 when he found out he had a niece.
I mean, that kid in the remake was kind of a child. And in Resurrection, he killed a kid, didn't he?
He was 15. No, in Resurrection, it was an 18-year-old. Definitely not a kid. But what I'm saying, the more Daniel is like babies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, because even in the original Halloween, they show him as a little kid outside the house with the knife, and he did not touch his little sister.
Yeah.
Nor did he in the Rob Zombie remake, nor did he in this newest upcoming remake that we saw a few years ago. There is a baby crying in the house, and he laughed.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything to it. I believe he went in the room to see, but that was it.
You're right. And I think, coming back to Freddy here,
No,
you're good. But it's actually a good segue, because I think that's what makes Freddy more scary. Because you'll see, like, Michael and Jason, they do, that humanizes them a little bit, because there's some shit they won't do. But Freddy's like, yeah, I'll kill the fucking kids. Like, he'll kill whatever. He doesn't give a shit. And I mean, he does a little more than that in this movie. But he's, like, he's just this, he's a terrible person. You cannot make any, like, he is a scumbag and evil. This is evil personified. Especially in this one.
Exactly, and that's why I got a little upset at this one, too, because the kids are brought to believe at first that maybe they falsely accused Fred Krueger, that maybe they were five and they just got it mixed up, and then they find out, oh no, we didn't make anything up, he's mad at us for telling the truth,
yeah,
not for lying, and it just switch the story completely. And I just feel like that it just didn't need to be in there. It just didn't need to happen. I mean, why did the kids have to think that they were lying? It's just an unnecessary 30 minutes, honestly, is the way I see it. But another thing that I hate is Nancy's mother is very much so not really in this movie. And it makes me irritated, because in the first movie, she is a very vital character.
Yeah, and they have such a good actress, too. Connie Britton is phenomenal. I mean, American Horror Story.
Exactly. So why they would not use her and her full potential, I don't understand. Because I'll tell you right now, in a two-hour movie, she's got, what, like 10 scenes?
Yeah, and her most famous one is obviously the end.
Exactly, and like, I was talking to my aunt earlier about this when you were watching the remake, and the ending one, they did get rid of the mother at the very, very last minute, but it was very different, and it was funny.
Yeah.
It wasn't cynical, and it wasn't scary, and it wasn't a jump scare.
That was the blow-up doll through the window.
Yeah. So, like, she looked like a Barbie being thrown through a window of a Barbie playhouse. So it was funny. And all of her friends came back. I missed that kind of ending.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just my own personal opinion.
And I do agree with you, but I do it as a Kill fan. And that's another thing that I really, why I'm such a huge slasher fan, is I love kills in horror movies. And slasher kills, you can't really beat slasher kills.
You cannot.
And the ending, there's something about the claws through the eyeballs. Like, they did take the character. Maybe they didn't do enough with the character in the movie. I'll agree with that. But the way they took her out and then through the mirror, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was a cool idea. That was very, very cool, whether it was her or a dummy or not.
Yeah.
It was very cool in the way that he left the blood on the mirror and stuff. Because normally, when you see Freddy Krueger pull somebody through to his world, there's not usually anything left.
Yeah. Behind. No.
But there was blood all over the mirror.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that he stabbed her mother through the eye.
Now, kind of putting a pin in the whole arc or the whole storyline about him being a pedophile and what you were saying about kind of how they tease that he could be innocent. In the original script, he was innocent for this. They were going to write him as an innocent man, and that's how they were going to do it. But they wanted to do the twist to make him more sinister and more scary. Do you think that the original script they could have gone a longer way with? Like, do you think they should have kept to the innocent thing or just had him be a pedophile the whole thing and not tease the innocents?
I think that they should have had him be innocent because I think that would have been scarier.
Yeah.
Because that would have given the kids a little bit more to fear.
Yeah, and they, like, feel bad, like, oh, God, we created this.
Exactly.
You know?
You have a little bit more of that guilt, a little bit more of that character depthness when they're like, oh, no, what did we do?
Yeah.
Instead of, what did he do? What did we do?
Yeah.
And that's honestly what both movies were actually honestly missing. In my opinion, I feel like had he been a wrongly accused man, they would have gotten more out of the story. But in another way, I feel like if he was a wrongly accused man, he wouldn't have had so many movies.
Yeah. And they were kind of, I think they were scared of making him too likable too,
mm-hmm.
because Robert Englund was so damn likable. And I think they were trying to get that away from that and just have this all, we're really afraid of this guy instead of all we feel for him.
Yeah. And I think that's why they switched Robert Englund because they didn't even ask him to come back for this movie.
No.
They just cast somebody different. And he said in an interview before, that's fine, go ahead, I don't care.
He was cool with it. He gave his full support for this movie.
Because he didn't want to be Freddy.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't want to be Freddy without Wes. Without Wes, there is no Freddy.
Yeah. He did voice his support for this thing and for Jackie Earle Haley, too.
Yeah, he said he did a really good job.
Yeah.
But he did also say, though, that his Freddy and Jackie's Freddy are two different people.
Yeah, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And... Well, Warner Brothers, they were eyeing Jackie. He was their first choice. I read that.
Mm-hmm.
He was their first choice. Jackie Earle Haley was going to be the new Freddy for a long time.
Yeah.
That's who they wanted. So at least they didn't have to switch up or, like, have to go for a backup plan. They got their next Freddy. And I think he did a good job. I think that's the one thing that people got wrong. I enjoy this Freddy.
I enjoy him, too. It's just he's a little too sadistic for me. As far as the Freddy goes, Freddy to me, like I said before, is cynical and funny and just is an overround bad guy, but does it in a way that you kind of laugh at the end. Like you're like, oh, wow, that's kind of funny that he killed him with his own tongue. It's kind of hilarious. So there's a difference between that. And I will say, as much as I loved Jackie's Freddy, because I really, really do, I desperately, desperately just wanted a little bit of comedic juice on it. The only thing that was comedic in that movie was there was a line between Rooney Mara and, I'm sorry, people, I'm reading off screen, Kyle Gallner as Quentin and Nancy, and Quentin, who has had a crush on Nancy for a very long time, asked her, which was another difference, by the way, because in the first movie, Nancy actually had a boyfriend, and this one she does not. But anyways, getting back to what I'm saying, herself and Quentin were in the van that he was driving, and he said, maybe one day I'll finally get to take you on a proper date. And she laughed. And she said, I don't know, I have to think about it. And he laughed and he said, well, why don't you sleep on it?
Yeah, I love that part.
And then Freddie came out from the middle of the road and they crash in the woods. That was the funniest part of the movie.
Yeah, I love that.
That was
part.
The only time I laughed.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this Freddy does quip a little bit, like the "I'm your boyfriend now" and stuff like that.
Yeah, and the like, "Why are you screaming? I haven't even cut you yet."
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but still, not as.
No, it's not as funny. It's more like it's little quips, but it's meant to be sinister too.
It's not as.
Yeah, I love the "Why don't you sleep on it?" That to me, because a lot of this dialogue doesn't work for me with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like a lot of it's forced and not that good. But that was like a genuine conversation.
They had a really good chemistry during that whole conversation because he's asking her like, "We've been schoolmates since sixth grade. Like, why are you finally now talking to me?" So, and it was a good moment between both characters, and it also made you a little bit behind of what these kids are feeling a little bit, because you had to remember these kids, they didn't know any of this. Their families kept this all a secret and hope to God that because of their ages they were just going to forget.
Yeah,
and that's awful to feel for the children. Honestly, I feel bad for the kids that Freddy comes back for, because half the time they don't know what's going on. They don't know who he is.
Yeah.
They don't know why this is happening. Like, he's even said in the remake, "You don't remember me?"
Yeah. And that's what he wants them to do, is remember him.
Yeah. And that's why he kept Nancy up for so long. And I will have to say, on the remake's behalf, that was a really good twist.
Yeah.
The way that he kept her up as long as he possibly could, so when she did fall asleep, she wouldn't be able to get back up again.
Yeah.
That was really, it was a cool concept, and it worked.
Yeah, it was really creative.
Yes.
Another concept that, because I want to say another thing I really liked about this movie, and another concept I really enjoyed was the introduction of micro sleep and micro naps. And
yes.
The fact that, because it's a real thing.
Yes.
When you are up for like 3 days or something, when you're up for more than you should be, yeah, your brain starts to shut down every 20 to 30 seconds to kind of recharge, and it's making you sleep, and then you'll wake back up.
But like they said, in the micro naps, you don't know that you're sleeping or not.
Yeah, you don't control it.
And that's what gives Freddy so much power.
Yeah.
When he gets those kids to that point when they are micro napping, because they don't know that they're dreaming.
Yeah, and they're just seeing stuff as they walk by a hallway and stuff like that. And I thought that was a cool introduction to give these kids even more that they have to deal with.
Yeah, a little bit more to fear.
Yeah, there's more stakes at hand.
Exactly. Like, in the first one, it was like, oh, if you stay up for like 7 to 10 days, you'll eventually die. But in this one, it gave it more of a concrete element.
Yeah.
It gave you the terms. It gave you kind of a little bit of a science lesson a little bit.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, so if they decide to stay awake as possibly as much as they possibly can, they're going to end up dead anyway, because they're just going to fall into a deep sleep when they don't know that they're sleeping.
Yeah, micro sleep.
Yes.
And it's happening like 30 seconds at a time, so you're seeing crazy shit, and then you wake up and you don't know what's real anymore.
Yes. And that's one thing, too, that happened in the pharmacy with Nancy.
Yeah.
When Quentin was going to get his medication refilled, she was in the self-care aisle of the pharmacy, and Freddie was there, but he wasn't there. It was very weird, but a very good scene altogether. But it was very, it was weird. She was in her realm and not in her realm.
Yeah.
Like, he was knocking stuff over on her and cutting her and everything, but you couldn't see him.
Yeah. No, it was I thought that part was really well done.
And she knew she was asleep. She just didn't know how to wake herself up.
Yeah. So we talked about some kills. So let's get into, because I'd like to do for every episode, our top kill, the best kill, and the lamest kill. What kill really got it for you that you're like, oh, God, this is the best one? What kill kind of didn't live up the hype for you?
The the kettle that really didn't live up the hype for me, I'll start with first, has got to be Chris, who was supposed to be Tina from the original.
Yeah.
If you go back and you watch Tina's scene, and not only was she thrown around the room like Chris was, but she was cut all over.
Yeah.
And then her throat was slashed after. There was no big slash on her front. Like, that didn't happen. And also, Nancy was at the house. She wasn't at her home. She was at Tina's. And, excuse me, her boyfriend had left the house that night, and they couldn't find him. And then the next day at school, because Nancy's original father was a police officer, he was a sheriff, and they followed her to school knowing that Tina's boyfriend was going to go get her.
Yeah.
And that was good. So that by far, honestly, though, was the most lackluster kill, because I was waiting for her to really get it.
Yeah.
And she just, I don't feel like it was, I feel it was more hyped than anything. As far as the best kill, I'm going to have to give that to the boy that got locked up, Chris's boyfriend.
Oh, Jesse? With the claws mm-hmm. through the chest, like the from the, through the back?
Oh, yeah. And the fact that he was spinning around in his cell room. And so let me tell you, people, three things that make a good kill. Number one, scenery, environment.
Yeah.
Number two, the person that's getting killed. Like, if you're like me and you hate Paris Hilton, you love House of Wax because she dies. Third one is going to have to be the comedicness of the kill, if they're going to put a little bit of comedicness in that. And I will have to say that was the first time in the movie that I laughed, because his cellmate is freaking out going, "I swear to God, I didn't do nothing."
Yeah, a little dark humor.
Would somebody please open the door? I did nothing. Get me out of here. He was petrified, and he was like a big black Puerto Rican man.
Yeah.
I would have been petrified of him. I think Jesse was petrified of him.
No, he was.
But that man was just so afraid of what he saw. And I just thought it was beautiful. I love a good kill. I'm like my brother here, people. I love a good kill. There ain't nothing more satisfying than a good slice and dice.
I mean, I didn't like Jesse as a character. I think he was the one that really made me like, wow, these characters suck. And if you don't want to have a hard time in prison, don't wear eyeliner. Like, Jesse's wearing eyeliner this whole movie, and the whole time I'm like, dude. And then he goes, like, it's fine, do what you want. But it's like, that's around the time in 2010, like, when dudes were doing that, and like, cool, like, you know, the punk rock, I guess.
Emo is over, you can all go home now.
Yeah, it's like, all right, dude, calm the fuck down. And am I wrong, because,
no.
Am I wrong for thinking about Chris, because I'm not the most familiar with Freddy, you know that, kind of
no.
like you and Jason, mm-hmm. and I thought at first watching this, before Chris's death shocked me, because I thought she was going to be the final girl. It took me a few minutes to be like, oh, it's Nancy. I knew there was a Nancy in the original movie. I knew Nancy Thompson, how big and famous she is and how popular she is. But at first, like, seeing Chris, it's like, this movie kind of sets her up to be the final girl.
And it did.
At first, until she dies.
Until she dies. And I don't know. Do you agree? I think it was very lackluster.
Yeah, I agree. Now, just because, and that's another one, and we're going to get into this, but that's another, like, scene they stole from the original movie that just wasn't as good.
Exactly.
You know?
Like I was saying, like, in the original movie, they used a rotating broom.
Yeah.
And they had a dummy in there constantly getting stabbed, and they're feeding, like, fake blood through a tube and stuff. So even though it was, like, back in 1980s and whatnot, they did the best with what they had.
Yeah, and you can't tell me, and I mean, other people have talked about this. So I don't want to act like this is a super hot take, but you can't tell me that the CGI moment where, which is another replicate from the original, where Freddy's head comes in and out of the wall, like, you can't tell me that CGI looks any better than just the stunt from the original movie with Freddy doing it, when it was just the guy between, I think it was like plastic wax paper doing it.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with you. The first one definitely did that better.
Yeah, it's like you can, just because you got the money to do CGI doesn't mean you need to redo a scene. Like, and another thing, the whole hand thing with her legs in the bathroom, like to try to replicate that in between her legs while she's in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that wasn't even CGI, but it's like you're just doing the same scene. Like, why make a new
movie
and shoot the same shit?
Yes and no, though, little brother, because yes, that was kind of the same scene.
Quinn,
but if you go back and exactly, if you go back and go to the original, he's trying to drown her.
Yeah, he didn't pull her down like in the. But still, it's like it just feels like a weird nod to put in there. Like it's basically like, hey, you saw the original, you're gonna be like, eh, like it's just kind of weird. Like to me, making a new movie to put iconic shots like in there, like and even that kill, like do new kills. You know, there's so much you can do with Freddy. I know there's a lot of sequels, but you don't need to like. Do the same stuff. I guess that just kind of bothered me.
Well, now that we're getting into sequels, I have to say something on behalf of my lovely fiance. He would like everybody to go ahead and watch Wes Craven's New Nightmare. And at the very end, when Heather Langenkamp is going into the dream realm and she's picking up pills, he would like you to think of Family Guy, of James Wood being like, oh, piece of candy. Oh, piece of candy. And as stupid as that sounds, it works.
Yeah.
As stupid as that sounds, people, it is hilarious. I would say to do that, you will get a completely different take on the movie. The movie will go from being scary to being hilarious.
And that's one of the scariest movies, one of the scariest entries in the series, still.
Absolutely.
That movie's terrifying.
It really is.
Well, talking about these remakes, a big thing about these remakes is that they're not scary enough.
Exactly. But this one
what'd you
was.
Think? What'd
That's
you think
the
about
thing.
This one?
This one was really scary, but I don't think the kids were scared. And I think that's the problem. Your audience isn't going to be scared if the people that are supposed to be scared in the movie aren't scared.
Were they not, though?
I mean,
they seem pretty disturbed.
I felt disturbedness, but I didn't feel that fearing for their lives.
Okay.
Until the very end, like when they had the adrenaline and stuff and it was down to just Quentin and Nancy.
Yeah.
I feel like when there was a few of them, they kind of just thought it was a joke.
Yeah. Well, again, like Jesse, like he didn't really get it till he went to jail.
Yeah.
And even then, like it kind of felt like he was forced to act scared. Like they were like, all right, act scared.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just frightened. Like, but I know I kind of talk shit about Rooney Mara and her performance, but in the end, you do see genuine fear on her face in that like last scene and stuff, especially with her mom.
It upsets me that it has to go that far for you to see some real emotion,
yeah,
and some real fear.
Well, Quentin's the best actor in the movie. Let's give him that because you do think he's terrified and he's actually pissed off at his dad, and he like. As far as acting, he does a very good job, I'd say.
He does a very good job. But also, he had at least, like 10 movies under his belt.
He was already becoming
at
a star.
At this point, he was already becoming a Hollywood movie star at this point. So I feel like he kind of already knew what he was doing.
Yeah. He wasn't as early on.
The other people, the other kids. Because, like we said, Rooney Mara has turned into a beautiful young lady. Was a beautiful career. This movie was not the best match for.
Yeah.
I really feel like if we had a different girl, it would have been a completely different movie. Like, let's say you take Jessica Alba from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, which we will never do, people, because we are doing bad remakes right now, and that is not a bad remake.
Yeah, people talk shit about it. You're on fuck you. That was a good move.
Jessica Biel is a good, and I never say this word, people, on this show. She's a good fucking final girl.
She
really is. She's amazing. The fact that she can get herself to tremble, you get goosebumps seeing her.
Yeah.
Running away. You cheer for her.
She looks genuinely scared. Now, but another person that's got a lot of experience in this movie is Chris. And we were talking about Chris and how I thought she could have been the final girl. As far as these horror remakes, she's kind of one of the scream queens. She did the 2006 Black Christmas. She did When a Stranger Calls. you know, and obviously she does Nightmare on Elm Street. So she before the, and this was.
And Kill for Me.
And Kill for Me. So by the time she got here, she did have experience in doing these movies.
Okay, yeah, so she was experienced as well. I feel, though, that they didn't give her enough screen time.
Yeah. Well, they gave her a lot at the beginning, and then they kill her. And yeah. Then it's like, okay.
And yes, they gave her screen time, but they didn't really give her a story.
No.
They just kind of made her this upset girl because she watched her friend supposedly kill himself in front of her.
Yeah, she was just seeing the stuff happen.
Yeah, so she really wasn't an in-depth character. And that's why I get mad at these horror remakes, because if you go back and you watch the stuff from the 80s and the 70s and everything, they spent so much time creating not only the monsters, but the characters.
Yeah.
They'll go with the monsters. So that's what aggravates me about these remakes. When they don't take care of the act of the protagonist. They only take care of the antagonist.
Yeah, they're just all dumb kids now.
Yeah, and I'm a little offended by that because I really feel like put a little bit more fight into them.
Yeah.
One movie I'm going to recommend to everybody, very, very good slasher, excellent twist at the end, is All the Boys Love Mandy Lane. And the reason I love the slasher movie is not only because of the twist, but because of the characters. You get to know all of them.
Yeah.
And you get to find out that Mandy Lane is, number one, not only a sweet and innocent little girl, but number two, a sadistic murderer in her own right.
Yeah.
Is ridiculous.
For sure.
Like, her boyfriend shows up with pill four and whatnot, and she's like, nah, I ain't taking them. You take them. Boom! Whack with the stick. So, I feel like some horror movies, they don't go that much into the protagonist. And I would like to see a horror movie go a little bit more into the protagonist, which is also why I like the movie Final Girls. If you've never seen that movie.
Yeah.
That movie goes very far into the protagonist and the breaking down of a horror movie.
Yeah. That one's a good one. Another kill that I really enjoyed that I wanted to talk about with you. No, you're good. But Dean, at the beginning.
Yes!
That fucking throat slash, I know it's kind of simple and they're like, oh, you're not real, you're
but
not real.
But it was so beautiful.
He got into that neck, man. That wasn't just like a scream, like a tsuh. He's like digging, dude. Like he was like cutting at a steak. It's like, holy shit.
He really did. It looked so real. They got the blood just right.
Yeah.
I mean, you people are all going to think we're sadistic. We're really not. We're really nice people.
Yeah.
We're really not this morbid all the time.
No, I just like horror.
But we really love kill. And I really have to give it to filmmakers when not only they can give a good kill like that, but I got to give it to the actor as well. Because he was so committed into the fact that Freddy wasn't real. And that he was going to be okay.
Yeah. And he did, and we were talking smack a little bit, but he did look genuinely scared and confused and stuff, too. He did a good job.
Absolutely.
Because his face was like, he was distraught, and he kind of seemed like a drug addict a little bit. Like, oh, like, he kind of seemed like he was, like, fiending, but he wasn't, like, he didn't know what to do. He was sleep deprived. Like, that is what sleep deprivation looks like. He did a good job portraying that.
And also, he was in microsleep as well. A lot of people don't know this, but he very much so was in microsleep. That's why, like, he was dreaming, but he wasn't dreaming.
Yeah.
Like, he was in the diner asking for coffee, but he was really asleep.
Yeah, exactly.
In the diner. So, I liked his acting. I feel like they could have switched him with another character and given him a little bit more screen time. But I also am a little bit impartial to, I want to get his name right. What is it? I want to get his name completely right.
Okay.
The first one.
Oh, Dean? That would be...
Keelan Lutz.
Yes.
I love Keelan Lutz. And it's not just because of Twilight, people. I love him for a lot of other different reasons. He's just a comedical... funny guy to watch in the first place. And he also has a way of bringing general emotion to the set.
Yeah.
Like genuine emotion. Like you can feel the fact that he's scared. And you're scared for him.
Yeah.
And I love that actor for that reason. He is very, very good at that. And I also do love him because of Twilight, but everyone went through that 16-year-old phase. People don't try and tell me that you weren't 16 years old with a Robert Patton and Emmett poster on your wall, and I'm Team Emmett, I'm Team Jasper and Robert and whatever, Edward or whatnot. You can't tell me you weren't into all that, because I know you were.
All those
teams. There were so many teams. It was ridiculous. Like, it is Team Edward, Team Jacob, Team Bella, Team Alice. It's like, do all of you have to have a team?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we'll get out of that, though, because that is not a horror movie. But I will have to say Kalen Lutz is still a very good actor.
No, he is, definitely. Did you, because they gave a lot of backstory on Freddy, do you think that this was a little overstuffed and a little too much in the background to him, or did you like that? Because we have seen him burning in the building before.
Yeah.
They did it in a different way going through Quentin's
flashback. I don't like the way that they did it in this one. Because in the first original one, Nancy's mother has the knife. And she has the fedora and everything in the burn space. And she's like, look, honey, I killed him. He's gone. And this one, they say, oh, he ran away. He's never coming back to get you.
Yeah.
Like, they're being very ignorant about it. And the older movie, they're like, no, we did something wrong.
Yeah, we got rid of
it. And the parents knew that they did something wrong.
Yeah.
But I just didn't feel it in this one. I felt like the parents felt like they were right. They were very ignorant.
Yeah, no, about they were. It. I'd agree. And as we're getting towards the end here, we've had a lot of good conversation here. But one thing I wanted to, because I asked this last week with Friday the 13th, and I wanted to ask it this week. Would you be, because this never got a sequel, even though it did good money, but since it did so bad critically, never got a sequel, would you be interested in seeing this? Obviously, we're never going to see one now, but would you be interested in seeing Quentin and Nancy's story continued with Freddy and everything? Like, would you have wanted to see a sequel to this?
If it could have continued, yes, but I would have been more interested in Quentin than Nancy. Honestly.
Okay.
Quentin, he had more of a backstory. They focused more on his character. Honestly, they could have took Nancy out and I wouldn't have missed her. I wouldn't have known there was anyone missing.
Yeah.
Would I have been upset? Yeah, because you can't do a Nightmare on Elm Street without Nancy.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, I feel like she really wasn't necessary.
Yeah.
In this one. I feel really terrible for saying that. But I feel like she, since the actress didn't want to be there, it just shone through.
Yeah, it does show.
It shows through immediately. Like, people, if you've watched it 1 to 1,000, we don't judge share times. Go back now after hearing us telling you that Rooney Mara hated her part. Go back and watch how the young woman acts through this whole movie, and you will see that her face shines. I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
I don't like what I'm doing.
Yeah. And that's why it's crazy to me she was contracted for another one. Because I don't think Quentin had a contract, but Freddie was supposed to do 3 movies, and she was supposed to do 2.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming she would have died in the second one. Who knows? But
or they would have maybe done it like the original series and only brought her back for the third.
Yeah, maybe.
And the second, it would only be like flashbacks, because that's what they did in the second and the third one. But to close this off, I will have to say we will kind of get a little taste of Freddy again, little taste of Robert Englund. For a lot of our fans on here, we know that you love Stranger Things.
Yeah.
We love it as well. It's a great show. Shout out to Stranger Things. But they have actually hired Robert Englund for this next season. And he plays a character that is very much so Freddy, but not Freddy. His name's different. I guess he's going to look a little bit different. But he's a serial killer that has knives for hands.
So
that can kill people in their dreams. So it is Freddy. He's
yeah.
just going to have a different name. So for all those out there, like me and Daniel and everyone else who really want to see Robert Englund do it one more time, Stranger Things is coming your way, sweetheart. They got that all wrapped up for you in a tight little bow, little package there for you. They got it all wrapped up.
So there you go. And three more things. One thing, I don't like the Elm Street house did not feel as iconic as it usually does. That
well, also they did Elm Drive. Why did you do Elm Drive? It's Elm Street.
Yeah.
That is the move. That is the name of the movie, people. Nightmare on Elm Street, not a Nightmare on Elm Drive.
Yeah, exactly.
What is Elm Drive?
Now, second one is a question. You just said we're basically getting Freddy, so you kind of answered it already, but I'm still going to ask it anyway. Is there room in the upcoming future for another Nightmare on Elm Street remake? Like, should they give Freddy a second crack?
Not without not using Robert Englund, no. Or somebody that was inspired by Robert Englund. They got to be really picky and choosy with their Freddy choice.
Okay. No, I agree.
For me,
yeah.
I'm picky. I'm a picky person. It's just the way I am. If you don't have me within the first 20 minutes, I will turn you off.
Yeah.
Even bad horror movies. If you're bad enough where I cannot take my eyes off of you, Evil Bong, Rubber, then you got me.
Yeah, then you're good. Okay.
Anything else you would like to say at the end of this?
Well, I got to get a rating out of you. 1 through 10, rate Nightmare on Elm Street 2010.
4.
Okay.
What would be yours?
I'd probably go 4-2. Because it wasn't, I'd say it's under, there we go. I'd say it's probably just below average. So, yeah, I'd say 4-2. Next week, we will be doing the Black Christmas remake, the newest one.
Yeah, Black Christmas was remade twice. It was remade in 2006, and then they gave it another stab this last year. I'm not a huge fan for stuff being made over and over and over and over again. But I will say that we are definitely going to be covering the best remake out of the two.
Okay. Yeah, and I haven't seen this yet, so this is going to be fun.
Yeah, it will be very fun for you. If you haven't seen them before, Black Christmas was in 1977. Very good film. The newest one just came out in 2019. For the love of God, people, do not watch the 2006 one.
Yeah, because I've
just
seen
don't
that
do
one.
It.
Yeah, I've seen that
just,
one.
Just don't do it. That's an awful movie.
Yeah, that movie.
I love Michelle Trachtenberg with all my heart. I am a Buffy lover through and through. No, absolutely not. She should have been put in a different movie.
All right.
So, everybody, thank you so much for the support.
Absolutely.
We're signing off here. Have a great night. Daniel, we're going to let you take it off.
All right, and we'll be giving Black Christmas a stab next week, and Scaredy Cat's out.
Take a little walk to the edge of the town and go across the track where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Hey man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red rag.